Find in your Bible the book of Matthew. Would you do that, please? Again, I ask you to forgive me for my voice. I've got a little bit of a sinus something here. I don't feel bad. Don't feel sorry for me. I feel fine. I feel sorry for you because of my voice, but I'm going to do my best. And now I got a whole lot of people, Pastor, praying for me, so I'll be over this by tomorrow night. So you plan to be back. Now, what are these meetings going to be? Well, they call them revival meetings. The reason for that word, it's a Bible word for what God does for his people. When we're below par, we need to be resuscitated. That's what revive is. But I'll tell you what, average people have no idea. Matter of fact, what most people think about revival meetings isn't good. Sometimes we know it's religion, but it might be scary. Revival meetings, what are they going to do? Fall on the floor, scream, spit? What are they going to do? I was in Tuscaloosa, Alabama. That's in the United States, incidentally. I'm from below the border. Now, I'm a little embarrassed by that. I come to Canada. Ever since I started traveling for the cause of revival, I've been coming to Canada every year. And I'm really quite thrilled about it. I love Canada. I like to eat at Tim Hortons, even. And I enjoy Canada. I love being up here. You know what this makes me think about? I will sometimes preach in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan. Michigan is my state, and there's the Lower and the Upper Peninsula, and there are Great Lakes between us. Well, when I preach up there, do you know what they call people from the Lower Peninsula of Michigan where I live? Well, you get down there on what's called the bridge, the Mackinac Bridge, a famous Great Big Bridge. So what do you call somebody from under the bridge? They call us trolls. Remember the fairy tale? No, you don't remember it. Sorry I said that. We're trolls. Well, maybe I hope you feel a little better about that. I'm sure glad to be here with you. What we're going to do this week, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, is we're going to have public meetings to help people. That's what that really is. And what we're talking about in the next minute, nothing in all the world will help people more than knowing about this. So you come back. You be sure to come back. And invite somebody to come if you want to. We're not just trying to pack the crowd out. We're trying to help people. If you'll pray about it and then come, that'll be good, okay? And if you pray hard enough, my voice will be better tomorrow. Wouldn't that be nice? Matthew chapter 11, go down to the end, verse 28. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Now here's a unique aspect of Christianity, and that's this. Mankind does not need more information, more knowledge, more outstanding discoveries. We don't need to just get along better. You know what we need? We need to be rescued from ourselves. And the Bible teaches that the problems of mankind started right there at the beginning with Adam and Eve, when they defied the Creator and thus ruined creation. Did you know that the world we live in now is not the world the way God made it? Did you know it's ruined? Did you know God hates some of the things you hate? I just had a funeral for a little girl who lived 7 days. Family, of course, is very sad, and I've known them. I was pastor of the same country church in Michigan for 34 years. I just happened to be home, and they asked me to do the funeral for little Matilda. Did you know God never planned a world where a baby would die? Did you know it was never in the original plan for there to be injustice, hospitals, funeral homes, weeping? Not at all. But what Adam and Eve did in the Garden of Eden ruined creation. And we don't just need a little more teaching to improve our lives. No, we need to be rescued. And the book of Matthew teaches that Jesus Christ came to be our rescuer, our savior. His name shall be called Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. That's what I needed. I needed somebody to rescue me from what I am. which Jesus Christ has done. That's very important news for people to know. And incidentally, let me say something else. We're going to have an apologetics meeting before too long with Toby England. I'm not going to be around. I would like to be here for that. And that has to do with factual information that backs up the Bible. But I'm going to tell you something. You don't need to know all about science and history to be sure the Bible's true. You can find out yourself. Here's one way you can find out. The Bible presents Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as the answer to all of our problems. He will rescue us if we'll come to him. You can find out if that was true or not right now. If one says, come to me, I will give you rest, and you came to him and nothing happened. I tell you what, that's pretty good proof that the Bible's bogus. But I'm going to tell you something. It isn't that. It is the most substantiated evidence that the Bible is what it claims to be, the Word of God, that if you give it a try, it always works. So we're talking about some great words given by Jesus Christ after a hellfire sermon. In Matthew 11, he preaches a hellfire sermon about people deserving punishment. Wow. But then he ends it with a prayer. We read it Sunday school. And then with this tender invitation, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. Because God put it in the Bible, he not only said it to them, he says it to us. Come unto me. It's really tremendous. And we learned in the last hour that it's easy. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. It's easy to be saved. It's easy to be saved. Just come to Jesus and you'll be saved. But I've got some more news. This is amazing. It's easy to live for Jesus. No, no. Boy, this voice is really bad. It's not worse than usual. Not an easy road. No, no. It's not an easy road. Yes, it is. Because the second invitation was, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And there, Jesus is talking about living for Jesus after you're saved. How many of you would say, I'm not a perfect person, but I believe I qualify to say that I'm saved? Raise your hand. Okay, came to Jesus and asked him to save me. Raise your hand, come on, we're in church. Okay. Now, I'll tell you what, we owe it to him to live for him. I must live for the one who died for me. But I'll tell you what, it's not hard. It's easy. Dear Lord, help every Christian here to see this fact. Help every person without Christ to see it as a fact that compels them to come to Jesus. And help us, Lord, to walk out of here living a different way than when we came in. That's my prayer, and I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Take my yoke upon you. Now, 1973, now most of you weren't even born, I moved to a rural part of Michigan, way out in the country, always lived in cities, not big cities, but cities. And I know a little bit about farming, very little, but I've sure lived among farms. And I know what a yoke is. Hey, at one time I was wanting to speak on this because this is a very important topic. And I had somebody think that it was talking about part of an egg. I'm not talking part of an egg. A yoke is a wooden farm instrument. In the old days, a farm instrument that is made to tie two animals together to carry the same load and do the same job. How many of you can picture a yoke? Two oxen, two mules. Okay, here we are. Now, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest. That's how to be saved. Let me rescue you from your sins. Then he says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. See, a yoke is about work, but it's going to be work that's going to be rest. if you'll work with me, if you'll yoke up with me, this is going to be easy. It'll have challenges. It'll require sacrifice and self-denial, but you'll be able to do it. You'll be able to live a holy life, and it's going to be easy, for my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Now, you pictured it here. Jesus says, come to me. I'll forgive you of your sins. I'll give you a home in heaven. Now take my yoke on you. Here, you get under the other side. I'm over here. You're over here. We're pulling a burden together. Wow. See, a farm instrument to tie two animals together to do one job and to pull the same burden. Now, I've got three kids. I've already had people ask me about that. The Lord allowed us to keep three of them, okay? My oldest is a daughter married to a preacher in Florida, okay, and they have four kids. My second one is a girl who waited a long time to get married. At least most people think it's long. She was 42 when she got married a year ago in December, okay? And the one she married also was patient and waited for a long time. They're both godly young people. She married a preacher that grew up in the Bahamas. Matter of fact, she lives in Nassau today. My daughter's a pastor's wife in the Bahamas. How do you like that? Now, if you hear that Rick Flanders went to the Bahamas, don't be critical. It's for family. Okay. So, and of course, they don't have any kids yet. Then my son is a pastor in Michigan with seven kids. His name is John. Okay. John and I used to do things together all of his life, work of different kinds. One time, we were moving tables in our fellowship hall. Okay. We had those old folding legs, brown tables. They are also called man killers. So you know what I'm talking about. Now they got white ones now, made of plastic, for wimps like me. Okay, and they won't kill you or injure you, probably. Okay, but we had these brown tables, and it was just him and me, and we were in the fellowship hall. I had to move a table. So anyway, I folded it up, and I said, John, come and help me. Okay, here's exactly what I did. We're going to pick up this table and move it across, okay? So come and help me, John. And John got on the end of it, and I got on this end of it. And then I took my hand, and I grabbed something in the middle and picked up the table. And John's on his end, and he's doing this. But I'm carrying most of the weight. See, going across the room like this. And John is helping me on the other end. But I'm carrying most of the weight. Are you picturing what I'm talking about? Now, you know what that is? Take my yoke upon you. I'll carry most of the weight. My yoke is easy. And my burden is light. Wow. It'll be work. But I'll share the load. And for you, it will be easy. Did you Christians know that throughout the New Testament, we are taught that the Christian life is partnership? It is true that I owe it to him to live for Jesus. There's not a Christian here who doesn't owe Jesus Christ to live for him, totally. He died for you. Give me your excuse why you won't lift a finger for him. He died for you. So we owe him everything. We ought to present our bodies as a living sacrifice, don't you think? Okay, now watch. But it isn't going to work unless we partner with him. It's not just living for him. It's living with him. If we really take this Christian life seriously, we're in over our head. You know, he said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Okay, now keep his commandments. That's all he wants me to do is keep his commandments. That's easy. That's going to be like falling off a log. That'll be no problem. Because the commandments of Jesus don't demand very much, do they? Love your neighbor as yourself. Go the extra mile. Turn the other cheek. Love your enemies. forgive, forsake all. I'm going to tell you, anybody who comes to church and takes Christianity seriously knows that it demands a great deal. Yeah, so he says, take my yoke upon you. Don't try to do that by yourself. It's going to be partnership, yoking up with Jesus. And there's more than one place. There's a place in the Bible that says we are laborers together with God. Do you know what that means? That means God's got a job for you to do if you're a Christian. But he insists on doing it with you. Matter of fact, you sing that solo, you teach that class, you do that ministry in the church all by yourself, and he is not happy with you. He says, I want you to get in over your head. I want the pastor to say, would you be the guy who teaches that class? And I want you to feel like, no, I could never do that. But do it anyway. If pastor asked me, it must be God's will. But boy, Lord, I'm going to sure need help. Help. I'm going to sure need help. Take my yoke upon you. We are laborers together with God. Do things you can't do. But I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Partnership. John chapter 15, he calls it friendship. He said, you're my servants, but I'm going to call you friends. You're my disciples, but I'm going to call you friends. We're going to have a love relationship, an intimate relationship. Friend and friend, you and me, that's the Christian life. Christian life isn't bondage. It isn't rules, rules, rules. Christian life is the abundant life. Because it's his fruit, it's his power, it's his personality coming out, and not me. But it's got to be deliberate. I've got to say, Lord, I'm going to live for you, but I really can't. Would you take my hand and help me out? That is the Christian life. Take my yoke upon you. Wow. It's also called abide in me. John chapter 15. As a branch can't bear fruit of itself except abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. In other words, like a branch to bring forth grapes has got to stay connected to the vine. And you know what? To succeed in the Christian life, you have to stay connected to me. It's got to be us. Not you for Jesus, but you and Jesus. Every day. Pastor, I really think it's got to happen in a clear way in the morning. At least, I'm such an ornery guy. How many of you would say, I'm a Christian, but I'm still ornery? Oh, man. Let's try to get over our pride. How many of you would say, if you asked my wife, she would say, I think he's a Christian, but he's still kind of ornery. Raise your hand, man. Okay, there, the wives are raising their hand. Boy, very interesting revival meetings. I think I need to sit up and say, now, Lord, you know what I'm going to do today? Whatever you want. If you love me, keep my commandments, and I do love you. I'm going to do them all. I'm not going to pick and choose. I'm going to do whatever you said and whatever you say. What do you want done today, Lord? I'll do it. But you know me. You know probably I'll fail. Matter of fact, you know the area in which I'll fail. My temper, my language, my thoughts. So, Lord, I'm going to sure need help. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. See, he likes it that way. Lord, I'm not smart enough. I need your wisdom. I'm not holy enough. I need your life inside me. I need you. I need you. Did you know he likes that? He likes me dumb and weak. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Did you know my weakness? How many of you would say, let's be humble enough to say that. How many of you would say, I'm a Christian, but I've got weaknesses. And if I wanted to, I'd tell you what they are. Raise your hand. See, I'm not going to call on you. Okay. Do you know what God says to you and me? He says, your weakness is the platform to show my power. You know what? It ought to be people say, man, oh man, I can't believe it was George. Did you see how he was provoked? George, the George I knew, would bite the guy's head off. But look at him. He was kind and meek. That's not George. Did you know the Christian life ought to be in such a way that people say, that's not her, that's not him. Something's happened in their life. You know how that is? Take my yoke upon you. You're in over your head. And I ought to get up in the morning and say, Lord, I'm going to do whatever you want me to do, but I sure need your help. I'm going to need your help. That is the Christian life. Now watch this. He said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. Now, some who are in this room were born again 20 years ago. Long time ago, you got saved, okay? And you're better off than the ones who haven't been saved as long because you have a lot of advantages. But now listen to me about this. Some of you got saved 20 years ago, but you don't know Jesus one little bit better than you did back then. I had a guy honestly say to me, you know what? I have trouble loving him. Because when I was born again, it was so long ago, I forget what it was like. Well, I gave him some advice that I'm going to kind of give you. I said, you know what? My eternal salvation happened back in 1963. But you know what? He delivers me from myself every day. Yes. It's not long ago. See, take my yoke upon you. If you live the Christian life this way, Lord, I'm going to do what you say in the Bible, but I can't. I am so weak. I'm going to need your help. Did you know you'll get to know him? Right. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. There are people, if we really were honest and we stood up, there are people in this room who could say, I was saved 20 years ago and I don't know him any better than I did then. Matter of fact, I knew him better then. I really loved him back there. I'm going to tell you, that's not the way to do it. You know, if you come to the cross and get saved and walk away from the cross the rest of your life, I tell you, you're going to have a pretty miserable life. You know what you need to do? You need to go back to the cross every day. Say, not to save my eternal soul, but to live the Christian life, I'm going to need you again today. I'm going to tell you. Yeah, you're listening to me. You look like you are. Okay, listen. It'll work. Intimacy. There are some people who would stand up and say, I was saved 20 years ago. I heard Flanders say 20 years ago. That's exactly how long ago I was saved. And you know what? Jesus is more precious to me today than ever in my life. I never knew it would be this good. You know who they are? The dependent people. Who depend on him for the power to live the Christian life. Well, I get along pretty good. I don't need any supernatural power. I've got the character and education to be able to live the Christian life all by myself. Oh, no, you don't. Have you ever read the Bible? Have you ever read the Bible? Okay. After you get saved, when you get saved, you get the Holy Spirit to come in. How many of you Baptists knew that? Are we Baptists allowed to talk about the Holy Spirit? Okay. So the Spirit of God comes to live inside you. We're supposed to depend on him. And we can't get by without him. Now listen to this. About what? Living right. Galatians 5 says, walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. That temper, that language, that tendency to exaggerate, in other words, lie in your life, that's in your flesh. But if you walk in the Spirit, get up every morning and say, Lord, I can't do this, but I will do it. But it's going to have to be your Spirit. Walk in the Spirit all day long. Take the steps with a conscious dependence on the Holy Spirit. You know what? You won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. And you can't do it without the Holy Spirit. See, we need him to live right. Did you know we needed him in marriage? Marriage. Ephesians 5 is the marriage chapter. It starts with be filled with the Spirit. See, I can't be the right kind of husband for my wife unless Jesus Christ takes hold of me every day. I need to be filled with the Spirit submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wow, which is a miracle. Not only that, but prayer. I hope to be teaching you this week. We need the third person of the Trinity to talk to the first person of the Trinity in the name of the second person. Need to ask the Father in the name of the Son with the help of the Holy Spirit. Romans chapter 8. I need him. In other words, I can't understand the Bible without the Holy Spirit. I can't live right without the Holy Spirit. I can't witness to people without the Holy Spirit. You read your Bible, you know what you'll find out. We are utterly dependent because all by ourselves, we're a flop. Did you know there are people been saved here 20, 25 years who have lived most of those years the wrong way? Now, remember it started, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Labor and are heavy laden, that's about a person trying to work their way to heaven instead of letting Jesus save them. But it's also about the Christian who is trying to live the Christian life by putting their nose to the grindstone, gritting their teeth, and trying harder next time, which is the only way a lot of people know how to live the Christian life. See, they get up and fall down. They get up and fall down. I'm thankful for 1 John 1:9. I can get forgiven. My Father will forgive me. But I tell you, if your whole Christian life is up, down, up, down, up, down, up, down, try, fail, try, fail, try, fail, you know what that is? Labor and heavy laden. One of the greatest discoveries in the whole world is to discover that all you need for the Christian life is already inside you. And I'm serious, it really is. It's not about failure and bondage. No. It's about liberty and rest. Amen. And did you know, I just did a little something over here. Let me do it again, because you seem to be paying attention. If you just get up in the morning and say, Jesus, I belong to you, so I'm going to live for you. I'm going to love you, so I'm going to keep your commandments. All of them. I'm not going to pick out a few of them. I'm going to live for you. But you know what? I can't. If anybody knows, it's you. So I'm going to need help. You tell me you gave me the Holy Spirit. So right now, I'm going to tell you before I set out into my day, I'm depending on you to give me the power to live this life. Does this ring a bell? For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. This is what today is like. He's the king. I obey his commandments. That's my whole job. He gives the power to live that way so that at the end of the day, he gets the glory. What a day! No fight with the wife. No exaggeration in my conversations at work. No bad words, not even this one that I often use. No compromise through media. No way. I have lived a holy life today, and it wasn't in me. But it was you. Because today, I took your hand and yoked up with you. What a great day. Thine is the kingdom. Power, and you get the glory at the end of the day. Good way to go to bed. Now, some of you don't believe it's true because some Christian people have been taught by other Christians that it isn't true. You just buckle down and try your best. Realize that you'll never succeed. I'm going to tell you, that's not the Christianity the Bible speaks of. Jesus said he was not only our Savior, he is our emancipator. If the Son will make you free, you shall be. If a man can come to Jesus and get liberated from heroin addiction, don't you think that Jesus Christ can liberate you from your bitterness, your selfish? Oh, yes. Oh, yes. That was part of the deal when you got saved. He liberated you. But you know what you need to do? You need to yoke up with him. That's right. Doing it on your own will make a mess of your life. And not the least of which will be 25 years and you don't know him any better than the first day. You don't have an intimate relationship with him. Here's how to get it. Say, Lord, I can't, but you can. And I'm going to, but I got to trust you. Take my hand, Lord. You're my best friend. get me through this day. I'll tell you what, it'll make a difference in your marriage. It'll make a difference in your witness. It'll make a difference in your prayer life. It'll make a difference everywhere around you. You will change because you're not doing it alone. You're yoking up with Jesus. You know what I think would be a smart thing to do? How many of you folks would rather be smart at the end of this service than dumb? Okay, here. I think it would be smart for somebody here to wake up and say, you know what? I've been making a mess of this because I've been doing it by myself. Maybe just recently, or maybe for years. Maybe I've always had the idea that the Christian life is about character, background, Bible knowledge. If you have enough Bible knowledge, you'll learn that you can't do it yourself. Walk in the Spirit and you'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. See, grow in grace and in knowledge. That means come to know enough that you can live by grace, not yourself. So say, you know what? I've been making a mess of things. So you know what I'm going to do? If I can, I'm going to leave this place yoked up with Jesus. I'm going to take the hand of my best friend and walk off with him. And I know something about this. I think I know what you ought to do. Okay? You're already getting nervous. Here's what it is. You ought to go up to somebody and tell them. Say, you know what? I'm going to yoke up with Jesus. Before I go out of this room, I'm going to yoke up with Jesus. And you know what I think I would do next? After I told somebody that, I think I'd come up to this front row or somewhere or sit back down and tell Jesus. Jesus, I needed you to take away my sins and to make me a Christian. But now I know I need you every day. Need you every day. So in that dependence, I'm going to yoke up with you starting right now. I'm going to give this a try. It can't be worse than it is. I'm going to give it a try. Fill me with the Holy Spirit, whatever you want to say. But just tell a person and then tell Jesus Christ, I am going to take your hand when I go out of this property down to the baptism, and I am going to yoke up with you. I'm going to do it. I think you ought to say it to somebody. And I'm telling you, I think that could be as gigantic a change in your life as happened on the day you got saved. Because you have had everything you need to be a happy, victorious Christian, but you haven't put it to use. And you won't until you yoke up with him.